There are five of them. One, the incorruptible crown. Two, crown of life. Three, the crown of glory. Four, the crown of righteousness. Five, the crown of rejoicing. There will be a crowning day. First, the incorruptible crown. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. But we an incorruptible. Winners in ancient Greek games were given a wreath of oak or laurel leaves. Such reward soon faded and crumbled. Yet competitors disciplined and denied themselves. Paul says, believers have incentives. And for these incentives, we curtail our liberties. The question is, what will I lay aside to be a winner rather than an also-ran? If some permissible thing would cause another to stumble, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth. Self-indulgence has never produced a winner. It's my option to surrender my members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And I can begin with the most difficult, my tongue. It is by nature unruly and is often set on fire of hell. I can discipline my ears. Faith cometh by hearing. More people are in trouble physically, economically, spiritually, socially, because they listen to wrong input. Criticism, pessimism, complaint, evil report, gossip, tale-bearing malice. I can discipline my eyes. I do not need to wallow in the magazines of the screen any more than I need to put junk into my digestive tract. I have checkpoints. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, my mental health depends upon their selectivity. They make you a winner. Second, the crown of life. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Now this is the reward for endurance. This is the believer's test after salvation. There are opportunities every day to quit. Remember, God saves us for nothing and then pays us for everything we do. I may be tempted to drive a sharp bargain, to take financial advantage. Watch! When you sell your automobile to another, do you warn that the oil leaks? Do you report the accidents and repair? I may be tempted to collect insurance, to seek medical damages for an alleged whiplash. My income tax report provides opportunity for temptation. What is my attitude toward my wife's parents? Could you take communion with your mother-in-law? Those tests are allowed, as they are included in any form of training, to show what kind of Christian I am. Third, the crown of glory. The elders which are among you, I exhort, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, we shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Now this is given to faithful ministry. It's the most demanding of all tasks. I'm responsible to preach the word. I must be above bribery. I cannot preach what people prefer to hear. I must preach what people are commanded to hear. No true preacher can ever be popular. He will be reproached for the name of Christ. It is meant to be terrifying to be a false prophet. That would be like an official throwing a game. Nothing is more despicable. Peter describes such as wells without water. They are decoys. To the bonded minister of Jesus Christ, there can be no fellowship between righteousness and unrighteousness. You say, but I'm not a minister. Listen, he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. If you will stand for what the good pastor or the God-sent evangelist stands for, and say amen and support truth, you will share in this reward. How are you on the deacon board, sir? How are you on the women's missionary council, ladies? Do you add, God forbid, heartache to the preacher who sets forth the truth? You may keep company with the popular clique in your church, but there will be no luster to your testimony in eternity. Be selective. Support the true witness. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Now who are you supporting? Be careful where you send your money. Fourth, a crown of righteousness. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Paul adds, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So why this focus toward the second coming? John gives us the answer. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Now this is the impulse to righteousness. Jesus may come today. Otherwise, I would put off what I know I should do. Carelessness never produced the winner. So wonderful what a vision and falling in love will do. Suddenly a young man becomes concerned about his appearance, about his manners. Am I watching for Jesus? It makes a difference in a believer's conduct. Those who say, my Lord delays his coming, act brutish. The animal begins to show in them. Peter says, let the expectant give diligence that he or she may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. The believer betrothed to Jesus would flirt with the world. And fifth, the crown of rejoicing. What is our hope for joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? Now, do you want to be happy in eternity? Win souls on earth. Make to yourselves friends by means of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when it shall fail, they may receive you into eternal tabernacles. Put your money to work winning souls, supporting soul-saving evangelism. The results will be credited to your account. Daniel tells us, and he was one of the outstanding soul winners of record, that they that turn many to righteousness shall shine as the stars forever and ever. I want my Savior's approbation. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. The Christian passes through three judgments. He has been judged as a sinner in the past. He is being judged as a son in the present, but he will be judged as a servant in the future. And the possibility is always before us that if a person is not faithful in the trust God gives that person here, who will commit to that person the true record? My record, oh my record, is so important. And in this life I must demonstrate what kind of a son I am. Am I obedient when I am judged? I'm chastened of the Lord. I'm in training for future management. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. Now this should be the final word to the lazy church members. What Christian responsibility do you assume? Or is your attitude a sweet, inexpensive? Well, we'll let Jesus do it. John warns, look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. My aim should be to achieve a 5-crown rating. There is the opportunity for a full reward. Who do you know at the present whom you could say that in your observation is living that way? There's so much that is cheap. Wood, hay, stubble. It's joy, but it lacks permanence. We meet them. There are folks who are more concerned about getting the prodigal a job while leaving him in the far country than in getting him back to the Father's house. It'll be a frightful moment, a frightful moment for such folk to see a lifetime of effort go up in smoke. A lot of church members who are ashamed of revival power, now, in there, churches will be ashamed of those same worldly church programs when they stand in the Lord's presence. Your giving is so important. How you use your money and your assets becomes a daily task. Paul told the Philippians, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Ask the Holy Spirit to run a check on your personal account in eternity. What have you placed in trust? It's not what you leave behind that will judge you. It's what you've sent ahead. I must work as hard for Jesus after I'm saved as I worked for the devil before I was saved. That makes common sense. But please, don't let anyone tell you differently. Are many of you only seconds away from answers? God's waiting for your confession that Jesus of Nazareth is the only begotten Son of God with authority to forgive sin and to heal disease. So make these next 10 seconds count for your soul and your body. Mrs. H.A. Barsh there in Fresno, California, thanks God the Holy Spirit gathered here with us. Brother Ward, it was in these moments I found out about the wonderful baptism of the Holy Spirit. Pastor J.R. Wilsap there in Dwight, Illinois, is pioneering a new Assemblies of God church. And so often this dedicated family kneels with us. He's using the Revival Time cassettes to share with homes that they visit. And Donald C. Falter of Columbia, South Carolina, says, Brother Ward, I'm a Catholic, and your preaching brings me to the long, long altar. I'm so excited about the way God is renewing the church. I know the Holy Spirit is real, so we'll unite in these precious moments. It's our joy, our glorious freedom, and our life eternal to confess thee before mankind as the only begotten Son of God, Redeemer, Messiah. We pray for the transgressor. Let faith stay within him, but God hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And let this be the moment when foul and binding habits of hell are broken and prisoner souls are set free. I pray for the preacher struggling to be faithful toward a very small group who cannot support him. Provide for this preacher. I pray for nurses in the far north country who travel distances and at great risk to sustain life. Grant them a great sense of satisfaction in that work. Come to us all, for much we need thee every hour, and lead us in the paths of righteousness. Amen. Ralph Milhorn of Bristol, Virginia says, Brother Ward, you directed a word to me. During one invitation, you stopped and said, there is a distressed lady at the long, long altar whose financial condition will change in 10 days. 8 days later, I was working after a long siege of unemployment. Mrs. Nellie Grenner there at Rockford, Illinois, finds comfort in these moments. I'm 82 and all alone these days. Now there's another dear soul here in the shadows of our fellowship, so alone that it is with great difficulty the tears are held back. There is such thirst for a bit of human companionship, but no one seems to care. Jesus cares, and suddenly your life is to be brightened. A companion will enter your life miraculously. It will prove absolutely compatible. You will share and gladden each other's lives, and you will know that your Lord indeed is mindful of what you have need. Praise him. I'm glad to be his evangelist servant. This is the meeting, a gathering. Joe and Ruth Summers feel it there in Shadron, Nebraska. Mrs. Paul Nittifer of Galion, Ohio feels it 1 year after she knelt at the long, long altar, her husband's salvation. He was saved. And suddenly the big gathering will be summoned. It will begin with the believer dead, leaving every cemetery on earth. And then, a twinkling of an eye later, the living will be gone, and there'll be no time for repentance. They'll be ready. And you can be by trusting the Holy Spirit, for it is not by might nor by power. By my Spirit, saith the Lord.